then the city manager can join us when he's able. So welcome everybody to the Burien Airport Committee, and I'm going to be standing in for the deputy mayor today. He was called away at work. And so Nathan, if you can call the roll, that would be great.
Nathan, it'll go better if we can hear you.
Thank you. Okay, Deputy Mayor is absent. Karen Valoria?
Here.
Mayor Aragon?
Present.
Council Member Mata?
Present.
Holly Mauser Guerrera? And I see Holly.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Okay, present.
Savannah had told us she would be absent. Mr. Wydick?
Here.
Mr. Harbaugh?
Present.
And City Attorney Newsom?
Present.
Okay, and I'll entertain a motion at this time to excuse the Deputy Mayor and Savannah Sly.
I'll make such a motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Okay, thank you. And all those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, and motion passes unanimously to excuse the Deputy Mayor and Savannah Sly. And everyone has had the chance to look at the agenda. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll entertain a motion to confirm the agenda at this time, or one for changes if necessary.
Motion to accept the agenda as
printed.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay, it's Jeff. Okay, and all those in favor, please raise your hand to confirm the agenda. And motion passes unanimously. So the first item is approval of the minutes. I entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve.
Okay.
Second.
And seconded by Jeff. And all those who approve, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Okay. Motion to approve the agenda passes unanimously. So our first item on the business agenda is feedback on the public education booth at Boulevard Block Party. And I know that Karen Valoria, our co-chair, had attended, and so did Council Member Mata. So Karen, did you want to start off with your experience there and what interactions you had?
I'll start off. I was there in the very beginning of the block party before the music started. So there weren't as many people there as probably later in the day. So we were in the tent with Burien, not the Discover Burien tent, but the City of Burien tent. And so we were there, and we also, the two guys from the port who've been working on this project, I forgot their names, but they said that they've been working on the insulation project for the last couple of years and doing the outreach specifically on this project. So they had a lot of flyers in different languages, and they actually had two pieces of paper with the addresses of all of the houses that they were still trying to contact. So you could see that it wasn't a lot of houses at all. And it also included SeaTac and Des Moines in there. And it was less than two sheets of 8x11 paper. And the interaction that I had, like I said, there weren't as many people there, probably later in the day, but most of the people, they didn't know that about the Burien Airport Committee. And I told them that we have a vacancy there, so if they were interested. And also about the insulation project, most of the people I talked to, and I talked to like probably half a dozen, they knew about the project. They knew they were not, you know, eligible for it. They lived a couple blocks here or a couple blocks there. So I found that they were pretty aware that this that this project was going on and aware that, you know, not everybody is eligible for it. The two guys from the port, I don't know how, I left at about 3 o'clock. I don't know how long those guys from the port were there. And so that was my experience. This is only the second year for the block party. I'm hoping that we could get it more organized so that, you know, it could be well attended, like all the other block parties, but that's another item.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome to our new city manager, Adolfo Bailon.
Well, everyone, thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Okay. And I don't think the committee members, well, and the city council members and staff know Adolfo, and but there are committee members. Have you had any of you had the chance to meet Adolfo yet?
No, not yet.
No. Do you want to introduce yourself? So I'll just do a round of introductions. So Karen, do you want to go first?
Oh, hi, I'm Karen Valoria.
Hi, Karen. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm a longtime Burien resident.
Okay. Looking forward to meeting you in person.
What neighborhood do you live in, Karen?
I live in Boulevard Park.
Okay, great. I always find that a nice point of reference, especially for this.
Yes, thank you.
And Karen is our co-chair with the deputy mayor. Okay. Stephen.
Hi, I'm Steve White. Live Gregory Heights for about 35 plus years. So, been around.
Nice to meet you, Stephen.
Stephen, do you want to share why you were interested in the airport committee?
Lived around the airport all my life. Worked for Boeing for 35 years. So, airplanes are important to me. And, was around the area where a lot of the homes got bought out because of all the noise. And I think needs to be looked at more and it's safer and better for the neighborhoods in the areas.
Okay. Thanks, Stephen. And I didn't ask the question of you, Karen. Do you want to talk about why you're interested in the airport committee?
I've also lived in this area for 30 years. The last 20 years, I've lived directly under the flight path. And I work for public health, and I've always kind of worried about when I grow tomatoes, I have to make sure that the black stuff is off of it. You know what I mean? Because of who knows what's falling on it. So I was concerned about the health effects that are happening in this specific area. And that's why I joined. I kind of want to know what's going on.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Next is Jeff.
Good evening, Adolfo. Nice to meet you. I hope it's in person someday soon. I'm in my second tour of duty on the airport committee. I'm also on the START committee. I'm a newcomer to the neighborhood, having only been here 5 years. I have become aware of the number of people, generally less privileged people, who have significant problems from the noise and from the pollution. And I'd like to help as many of them as we can.
Great, thank you, Jeff. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Holly.
Hello, I'm Holly Mauser-Guerra. I have lived in Boulevard Park for about 3 years now. And I was interested in joining the airport committee. Basically, I have a background in environmental and land use planning, and I was interested in contributing in that capacity. Yeah, thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Likewise, Holly.
Thank you, Holly. And we have our consistent and special guest from the port, Dave Kaplan, is also on our Zoom call. He's a panelist because he often has lots of information to share. So Dave, do you want to talk a little bit about yourself? Introduce yourself.
Mr. Bayon, Dave Kaplan. I'm the local government relations manager for the Port of Seattle. And my territory basically is all of South King County, but obviously the six cities immediately surrounding the airport have more needs and more discussion regarding airport or port-related issues than most of the others do. although there are other issues that crop up, industrial lands as an example down in the Kent Valley as a particular issue. But anyhow, I keep in touch with all of the cities, monitor what's happening in each of the cities, and try to be a resource where I can. So,
thank you, Dave. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
This is your second week now?
Second week, yeah. Feels great.
Can we learn a little bit about you, where you come from, and, you know, just a little bit, and what you think of our city so far?
Sure. Let's see. Originally born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I come from a family who immigrated to the United States illegally. You know, very proud of that. back in the early 70s, so I was the first member of my family born here.
And I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry. I just caught myself. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, what your previous experience.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. let's see. I worked for the U.S. Senate for a decade. Prior to that, I'd worked with the state legislature in California. And after leaving the Senate, and I left because I had spent that entire time working with municipal governments, county governments, military bases within a region of Southern California, and really grew a passion for municipal government. And so went, left the Senate to pursue a career in municipal management, and have been doing this ever since. I've been fortunate enough to work on airport related issues, coastal related issues, pretty much everything that is present in Burien, which is partly what attracted me to the city. In addition to its, you know, many types of restaurants, its diversity, its the issues that are being worked on here. So all of my career experience, and then just my life experience, really made me want to be here in Burien. It's a great place.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adolfo.
Sure. I started pretty early on. Probably should have forwarded 25 years from when you wanted to know about me. So.
Thanks. Okay, so back to the Boulevard Block Party, and Council Member Mata, you attended as well. Anything you'd like to share about your experience there?
I just like to read the comments. Yeah, it's pretty good. I didn't really get to talk to a lot of people. There was a lot of, we had a lot of our city staff there, and you know, wasn't really active when I got there. And I ended up going back in the afternoon. But I thought it was a good deal to just, you know, talk to people. I don't think that a lot of people in Boulevard Park have ever been talked to. So it's kind of like they were pretty interested in engaging and giving conversation. I thought it was a pretty well, it was a pretty good deal there. You know, I think that something to think about to figure out if someone can work with the board, with the county. You know, the amount of money that we put in education, not only to understand, you know, some of the obstacles living, being an airport city, but also I think it'd be kind of cool to, you know, really, you know, show some of the positives of it. You know, we have in Burien, you know, a young, Latino kid who ended up graduating from Razorback Aviation has been hired by Horizon, and so you know it's good to catch them early and to start educating them about, you know, some of the challenges. I don't think that people that end up going to even aviation talk about the positive things, but there's also some negative things about it. But I also think that we should work with, you know, some of our people that end up using the airport, like Alaska Airlines, like Delta. Like those are the individuals that to a certain degree do poison us, but should actually engage economically in our community with either talking about job opportunities, talking about, you know, just other opportunity that they have, you know. And so I just, you know, I think that we can make that Burien Block Party, you know, a lot bigger and a lot more more deserving as a community that has been neglected for a while. Thank you. And just I've been on the committee for 5 years. It's not something that, let's say, was interesting when I first heard it. It's because it was the toughest issue the city was going through. A lot of people are upset. We didn't have a very good relationship with the port. It was pretty devastating. There was a lot of cities that were not getting along. You know, we had Des Moines, we had SeaTac, and we're the last city with the airport committee. We have now a committee that's really focused on informing, educating themselves, and also not, we're not gonna let also Big Brother push us around, but we're also figuring out where we can work together. We've had to file a lawsuit, which costs us quite a bit of money in the city. We do still suffer from the consequences of being a port city. So other than that, I think there's, you know, this year has been more of getting to know each other. I think for the last year, bringing in different people to come and speak to us about different issues that are confronting us as a city. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Mata. Okay. Any questions for Karen or the council member about the block party and their interactions there on behalf of the airport committee? Well, one thing that is related, and this is something I actually heard in the Highline Forum, that the deputy mayor usually attends on the behalf of the committee. And this is something, and I'm looking towards Dave about the insulation program. Did I hear that that's been accelerated? Efforts have been accelerated to try to reach out to the last few people who are eligible?
Yes, there's actually a presentation that was done it's been done for the Highline Forum. In fact, the sound insulation program will be back to provide an update from last year. But the commission voted to accelerate to meet our Part 150 obligations under the last Part 150 and to try and complete the houses, apartments, condominiums, and houses of worship by the by 2026. And so the port has been fronting money toward that effort and then getting reimbursed by the FAA. Used to be that we would get the commitment from the FAA as part of the match in order to be able to do the work, but we're fronting the money now in order to do the work. There's, I think, fewer than 140 homes within the noise remediation boundary left. Actually, I think it's down to 70. I think 30 in Burien have indicated that they're interested. There are apartments and condominiums. Each of those individually decide whether they want to participate or not. And also their windows are tested to see if they would qualify. So based upon that, within the noise remediation boundary, that would determine which properties are available. The commission is funding apartments right now. There's some condominium work that's already also underway. And there are seven houses of worship, most of which are in Des Moines, although there are a couple outside of Des Moines, I think, that are also going to be done in the course of the next couple of years. So,
any questions for Dave? Oh, Jeff.
Yep. Hey, Dave, you just used the number 30 for the number of houses that were eligible in Burien or interested.
No, that expressed interest out of this.
Yeah. Okay. But we have a hard number, I think, of 17 that we know are eligible. Okay. Thank you.
Right. And those are, yes.
Okay. And when you say, did you say 130 and
140 within houses? 140 within the entire noise remediation footprint.
And if you have a condo, if you have a condo with 10 units, is that one unit or 10 units?
If there's a condo building, it's both. But it doesn't see. But what I just mentioned are single family homes.
Okay, thank you.
Single family homes.
Okay.
So in addition, there are apartments, hundreds of apartments, and condominiums.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions for Dave? Okay, so we can move on to our next item. And that's an update on START. So I'll turn that over to Garmin.
There actually isn't an update from the last time that we met. I think we met on roughly the 17th of July, and I believe the last START meeting was on the 11th. So unless you're interested in hearing me repeat the information, I think we probably are good for START at this moment. I also have the next matter, which is the Open Public Meetings Act, and I don't know if we necessarily need to have a conversation about it, but I wanted to make sure to kind of provide just a little bit of time just to make sure that there were questions about the information that I shared. In particular, I was a little concerned. I wanted to make sure, since I hadn't done the training with anyone or discussed it with anyone, I just wanted to make sure that we all kind of understood the idea of a serial meeting. And it's odd because I found myself discussing serial meeting earlier today as well, but just the idea that we have to be careful that you could have a conversation with one or two other people, and they could have a conversation with one or two other people on the committee. And if there's an understanding that this conversation or these series of conversations are happening, you could find yourself in a serial meeting, which would be a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. Obviously, if it's a truly innocent, I was talking to so-and-so and then they spoke with someone else and there's no understanding of it, we should be safe. But of course, why put ourselves in that situation if we can avoid it? So beyond talking about that, I really had nothing else about it, but I did feel when I saw an email exchange kind of occur, I wanted to make sure that we all were on the same page concerning that.
Yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. I'll be good.
No worries. And by the way, I just want to be clear, because at one point Jeff was like, all right, so it was kind of as if like, am I in a position to tell people who they're chatting with? And obviously I'm not. So I want to be crystal clear. I am not attempting to tell folks who they can chat with or anything like that. But I do want to make sure that we all know to be aware of whether or not we're accidentally conducting business through emails or something.
Okay. So what are your tips for avoiding the serial meeting besides one of the common ones on email is the reply all chain. Anything else that you want to?
I mean, yes, the reply all can be a problem. I think trying to coordinate or organize votes can certainly put you in a situation where you're going to have a violation. And while I don't think this is necessarily the way we're supposed to think about it, but talking about doing these things is probably what's going to cause the complaint to be filed at some point. So can you chat with folks? Of course you can. Try not to discuss business necessarily if you can avoid it, because the business really should take place in the meeting. You can always kind of talk and coordinate in terms of, you know, hey, I will not be available. Maybe leave the substantive items to the actual meetings to the degree that you can.
So I'm going to throw out a hypothetical because people think this is okay, but just want to double check. Is that, like, for example, I'm in a committee, so I'm talking to member B and C, thinking that, okay, we're not a quorum, but we talk about whatever. And then, or I talk to like one member, like me talk to member C, B, and then I go and talk to member C. And so what's the understanding that we are avoiding there?
If you're aware that you're having these conversations about something about business, mm-hmm. and rallying a particular point, whatever that point may be, that's where you're kind of conducting a meeting. You are aware. I'm not necessarily sure if everyone else is aware, but you're certainly aware that I've spoken with, you've spoken with Karen, and you've spoken with Holly, and you've spoken with, the deputy mayor, and you've spoken with Stephen. It's like, okay, you're conducting a meeting if you're getting to the root of a particular issue that's actual business.
Okay.
But I know you'd never do that, so.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That's helpful clarification. Okay. Any other tips, Carmen, that you want to share with us?
If you have questions, if you're unsure about something, don't hesitate to call me. I'm a fan of calling if we can't speak in person, just because the moment you put it in writing, then that becomes a public record. And you know that has its own set of rules that we have to comply with. But generally speaking, just think that if someone makes a public records request, we have to turn over the records that they asked for. If that includes your message saying, who knows what you could say in that email, then expect that that could end up in the public forum, so to speak. And I don't know, sometimes people don't like to see their messages appear in the press or on online or something, especially if that message might have been something that they regret a little bit.
Okay, yeah. That's one of those nice tests. It's like if you wrote an email and it showed up in the Seattle Times. If that's going to bother you, don't do it. Any questions for Garmin on this issue?
Thank you for clarifying that. That was helpful.
Of course, you're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. So next is the climate action plan updates, but Savannah is not with us today. Unless staff have anything they'd like to share about it.
I believe she's scheduled to meet with Paige again on the 19th. And so there should be more. She was hopeful there'd be more information the next meeting.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Nathan. All right. And then next item is the Inflation Reduction Act.
Sorry, I'm having low resources. One moment, please, while I grab. So I've been forwarding some information to the BAC shortly after I received the information to try to help keep you apprised of what's going on. Certainly don't need to wait for the meeting in order to be informed. And there was a recent, hopefully we're all aware of the recent legislation that was passed in the House at the end of last week. I have to admit, I don't exactly know if it has been signed yet, but.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Today.
Okay, good, because I hadn't heard up to this point. So a part of that legislation contains, I think it's roughly, let me just make sure of the number. I know it's two, hold on. I exchange all these messages with Eric and of course trying to find the one that's the correct one.
Aaron, I think it's 2.25 billion.
Thank you. And so there's some money that will go into, providing a variety of tools for the FAA to improve the quality of the fuel and hopefully have positive climate impacts. I've shared those messages with the BAC. And so frankly, all I really wanted to do was just kind of make sure that everyone's received it and that they've had a chance to take a look at some of that information. And just to be clear, so the port has indicated, I mean, and frankly, the representative or one of the representatives of the port indicated that he's been tracking it. And in fact, we were exchanging messages around the time that the House was preparing to have its vote. And he seemed very pleased once he found that the House had gone ahead and had passed it. So they will be pursuing those grants. And hopefully that will provide a benefit not only to the port, but to our communities as well. The intent is to reduce the amount of air pollution at and around. And I think that's really the substance of the update from my standpoint, but Dave may have more information. So I certainly don't want to preclude Dave from sharing any additional information that he might have.
I asked Eric Schoenfeld, our federal government relations manager, earlier today. He said the primary focus is on maritime electrification, and there.
I lost you, Dave, but I don't know if it's my connection or if it's yours.
Whether or not it applies to aviation.
Oh, I think it's. Hey, Dave, we missed your whole explanation. You froze on us a little bit. You probably will need to turn off your video.
That's probably better anyways. Were you able to hear what I said?
We heard maritime electrification, and then that was it.
Yeah, the focus of the $3 billion is on port maritime electrification. Again, this is across the country, of course, not just specific to the Port of Seattle. It's unclear whether or not there's an aviation nexus or not toward the funds. So we're waiting for guidance from the federal government to find out.
Okay. And would that be the FAA providing guidance or Congress?
The funding was directed to the EPA, so it's unclear whether or not the money would be, or whether the notice of funding information will be coming from the EPA or whether it'll be coming, it's not clear how that's going to be sketched out.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any questions for Dave? Oh, Jeff, you're on mute.
Dave, I wondered if you have any awareness if any of these funds will be available to the port for sustainable aviation fuel activity.
Yes.
To the extent the port can do anything about that.
Yes, actually, the blender's tax credit that we had been advocating for in Washington, D.C. was part of the package. So there is funding for sustainable aviation fuels as an incentive to help bring the cost down and make it more competitive with traditional Jet A production. And also important is there is funding in the package for facilities to be able to accommodate sustainable aviation fuels. So storage tanks, pipelines, you know, all of the things necessary to make that a usable source. So those things are both related to sustainable aviation fuels, and those are both in the package. And those are separate from the $3 billion for the port on electrification.
So does the port have plans to build any facilities? Subject to funding, of course.
Yes. Actually, as part of the SAMP, there's at least two storage tanks, I believe, that are one of the 30 SAMP near-term projects.
But those aren't specific to sustainable aviation fuel, are they?
Yep.
Oh, great. You mean you need different tanks to store it?
It's because it's blended. So, yeah.
I guess I was just surprised because I understand it can be blended with standard fuel.
It can, but you're talking about the full extent of the tank and the ability to produce enough. So,
okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jeff. And along with that, Dave, are there any updates around the SAMP and when it might be released?
No, as we indicated before, we're working with the FAA on the additional work that's being done. We're supposed to hear back at some point in time on what the schedule is going to look like. We haven't been told yet. So we're hoping soon to know what the schedule is going to look like, but I don't anticipate that the environmental assessment will be out this year.
Okay, thank you. Okay, great, thanks. And I do not have any additional federal legislative updates, and Garmin has shared already the most recent ones. And so Nathan, do we have anyone in the audience wanting to give public comment?
We do. There's looks like a member of the Des Moines City Council, so we can see if they would like to chime in.
Great.
JC Harris, do you have any public comment? Not seeing any response. They are free to speak right now.
Okay. Okay, great. And we don't have any other person that might possibly want to provide public comments.
Nobody else in the lobby, but we did receive an email.
Okay.
Which I can read aloud.
Sure.
So this was received on August 4th from Mary O'Hara. Says, hello, I don't know where to address this, so I'm starting here. I want to bring to your attention the increase in flights traveling directly over my house at 4th and 134th Street. It is very frequent, about once every couple of minutes, and it is loud. I have a flight tracker, and it appears to predominantly be Alaska Airlines and Delta Airlines for the most part. I understand that Seafair is gearing up this weekend, and probably the cause of the increase of this flight path, but honestly, the noise is ridiculous. I work from home and am overwhelmed by the frequent noise, and I don't know I will get any relief until next week. This is awful, and it makes it nearly impossible to focus on my work. Is there anything that can be done? Shouldn't the port pay for port windows for my house if they utilize this flight path to gauge the noise? It isn't possible to have a conversation outside while they are flying overhead, unless we yell loudly enough to hear the other person. Thank you for any suggestions you might have, or if you can direct me to where I can file a complaint, I'd very much appreciate it. A disgruntled Burien resident. Okay. And that's the extent of public comment.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. And if there's a way you can send her a reply about where else she might direct her comments, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Okay. So we're at the end of our agenda. Is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up for the good of the order?
Well, I've got one small thing. There was going to be a letter sent to the port. And maybe this was by start, but I think it's been discussed in this committee, asking them to request from the FAA a 60-day review period for the SAM. Did that ever happen? Was that letter completed and did it go out?
Lance did receive that letter from Mayor Aragon, and a response was sent yesterday or today. I'm not sure which.
Okay, well, I haven't seen the response, and that's probably why.
Okay. We will share that with you once I have it, or once staff has it, and it'll circulate once they have it. Okay. Anything else? Okay. And I just want to note that Karen and I are meeting with a couple of colleagues that we know from airport work, and they are from a couple of other organizations that are interested in the work of the airport more generally beyond Burien. So one is a colleague from Public Health Seattle King County, her name is Chris, and for some reason I'm forgetting her last name. Karen, you may know. Oh, you're on mute. Okay. I think she's having trouble unmuting. But yes, yeah, so a colleague from Public Health Seattle King County, and just for a little bit of background, that she did present to either this group or START on, oh, there you are, Karen.
Yeah, Chris's no, I'm last sorry, name. I don't remember her name.
It's been a while. And has shared some research around the impact of health on people who live near the airport. And we also have a colleague named Maria Batayola, who's worked with the Beacon Hill community, also tracking similar issues. And this relates to the grant from the Alliance of Nurses for a Healthy Environment, where I received a small grant. And so we'll just put our heads together about how could that small amount of funds support some collaboration, and we'll share the results of that discussion with you all. And I think we're meeting in the next couple of weeks, Karen.
Yes, next week. And her name's Chris Johnson. That's her name.
Chris Johnson. There we go. From Public Health Seattle and King County. So just stay tuned for that. Anyone else have any updates? Okay. Well, if there's no objection, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.